I want to say something, and I hope you'll understand it here, especially you college students just graduated. We love you. I think you went to probably a good school. But I believe that Grace Baptist College is the best one. Now, you might say, well, that's kind of cruel to say that. But, you know, if I stood up here and I couldn't say that, and I have no business teaching there, see? I believe Grace Baptist Church. This church here is a great church. Your pastor, I love your pastor. I appreciate Brother Rasha coming up to the college and speaking at the college chapel, and you taught my class there, that two-hour class. The students talk about Jerry Ross, but I doubt that this is a great church. But I think Grace Baptist Church is the greatest church in the world. Come on, say something, okay? First of all, the preacher, Brother Dufour, would kill me if I didn't say that. You know, we appreciate, you know, we didn't even come tonight to sell the college. I've told every pastor where we've been. We left 2 weeks ago this morning on this summer tour, and we've told every pastor that we don't even have any interest in trying to sell a college. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ, and our desire is to honor the Lord, not a college. God will take care of the college if we honor Him. And we're proud of our college. We're proud of the price that we've paid for that college. And just got through with our first 4-year graduation a couple weeks ago. It was a thrill to see. I think it was 19 graduates, and we were able to give out a couple of honorary first, of course, honorary doctorates that we gave out. We're not making a practice of that, but we did single out a couple of men in America that we thought really are doing something to make a difference in America. One was Jim Beller, and the other was Brother Manus over in Columbus, Ohio. Great men doing great work for the Lord. And it was a thrill to just be on a platform with them that night of the graduation and be able to take their tassel and move it over. And we're proud. Stop by the table and look at, you know, I believe that every young person, you know, most of that stuff on, not all of it, but most of that stuff on the table is free. And you're dumb if you don't take free things. Totally. and you can use that material. You young people can use that material as you try to determine God's will for your life. You can compare it with all the rest of these second-rate colleges and weigh things out and determine God's will for your life. But I'm serious when I say that we're not interested in selling. God's taking care of our college. And we don't want a single student in our college that God doesn't want there, Brother Pastor. No, we don't want a single one. We want young people and adults, too, to determine where you ought to be as you prepare to serve the Lord. I just look forward to getting rid of Ashley for 2 or 3 days. But only 2 or 3 days. We leave, she leaves. She adds a lot of life to our group. Spark, I guess you could call it. Spunk. A lot of other adjectives you might attach to that young lady. We love her with all of our heart. I tell you, she's a great girl, and had her in class, and great academically. And when all the rest of the kids, you know, basically we have a bunch of kids that stayed in Gaylord. They're working there in Gaylord during the summer. But, you know, most of the kids went home after graduation. But these kids here decided they wanted to serve God this summer. It might look like a novelty. I can guarantee you it's not a novelty. Running around in that 350 Ford van, that's our home. And that's a pretty good one, but they're paying a price And I know they're doing it with joy to be out here doing what they're doing for the Lord for a couple of months during the summer. They just have time to go home and say, you know, hi to their folks a couple of weeks, and they're going to have to get right back to the college and think about starting the classes all over again. I'm proud. Every place I go, I just tell everybody, I'm so proud of these girls. And boy, if they just stood up here and sang the whole service, you'd get more out of it if they sang than me preaching. I mean that. They're a blessing. Pastors have told me they've had a lot of people come by through their church, but they said, you know, when your group got here, they gave us something that we needed. Pastor today told me that. He said, we needed your group today. And they were a blessing to our church. And boy, if we can be a blessing, Brother Ross, that's all we want. Yeah, we'll take the offering, but... but we just like to be a blessing to the church. The girls are spending a lot of money. They eat constantly. We feed them, and we start down the road. Now, what happens in the van is we start on the highway. And I look back, and I begin to see the girls disappear. They go to bed in the van. Not long, not too long after that, you'll hear, I'm starving to death. Do they look, I ask you, do they look like they're starving to death? A couple, yes. But most of them are doing fine. We love our girls. We just appreciate it so much. I look forward to coming here and to be with Brother Castle down the road. I'm going to slip over Monday to be with Brother Beller. And pray for the girls. It is a long summer, and we just so thankful that we can be with them. My wife and I, you know, you might wonder, say, why are you with them? Well, I'll tell you. During the early in the semester, Brother Dufour said, Brother Jenkins, I'd like to have you take the girls out. You know, he said that. I said, the girls? I was with the guys last year. The girls? I said, I'll take them 2 weeks. And we just left it at that. One of our staff meetings, several weeks later, after the staff meeting was over, my son said to me, he said, Dad, hang around a minute. I want to talk to you. So after all the rest of the guys left, I stayed, and he says, Dad, he says, I want to tell you something. We've prayed about it. The pastors always say that. He said, I want you and Mom to go with the girls. You know what I said? Okay. That's what you ought to say when your pastor asks you to do something. I even go so far as to say that if your pastor asks you to do something, you shouldn't even have to pray for it. Pray about it. Just do it. Just do it. And we've had a lot of fun. This is my wife's first chance at this. Maybe the last, I don't know, but I wouldn't be here without her, but it's a blessing for us all to be traveling together. I know I'm spending a little bit of time here, but I'm trying to say thank you for the invite and the blessings of being here at the Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We don't forget, it's just great to be here. Pray for us as we continue on, and we'll be with the girls until about 15th of July, and then Brother Dufour is going to meet us in Pennsylvania. He's going to finish it out with a few engagements after that, but this is part of the education of our girls, and they're all sophomores, juniors, and seniors, so they are eligible for marriage. If anybody believes. And you are a fool if you don't notice something here. I know they're serving the Lord, but don't be dumb. Don't be stupid. I'd come to Grace Baptist College just for that, whether God was leading or not. Don't pass up a chance. Would your girls like to sing again? All right. Turn in your Bible for a little bit. It's pretty hot up here. We can't go very long tonight, but just turn in your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3. I have preached a lot on this tour, almost every service. I think this is we taught the adult Sunday school class this morning, and preached the morning service, and preaching here tonight, and having a lot of opportunities to preach, and I sure praise the Lord for that. I'd rather hear the girls sing, but I do believe that the preaching of God's word is important. I wouldn't doubt a bit that somebody has come into the church tonight with you didn't come in to hear the girls, you didn't come in to hear me preach, you didn't come in just to fellowship. You came in because you had a need in your heart tonight. Maybe God brought you here. And don't make the mistake of walking out the door and passing up the chance to, first of all, to get saved, secondly, to be obedient in baptism, to be a part of a great church, just to get right with God. Don't pass up the chance to get right with God. You and I need to be right. These are important days. We need to be right. It don't make any difference whether we're on church staff or whether teaching Sunday school or whatever we're doing. All of God's people need to be right. I may say to you tonight, young people and adults, you need to be right. I don't doubt, and you've heard this for years, but I just don't doubt a bit that Jesus is on his way. And I know that we've got a lot of family members, we've got a lot of friends who are unsaved tonight. And I believe that, I believe this with all my heart tonight, that God uses people. And I know that if Jesus comes back, or if people die this week, it's over. They've missed it. And they'll never have an opportunity again. I'm just totally aware, Brother Jerry. I'm just so aware of the fact that we're almost all of us living on borrowed time tonight. I know that God's at work. I know that we're in God's hands. But I just sense the terrible importance of the hour in which we're living. Yes. And we need to be right. Yes. We need to be right. Peter here, the Holy Spirit is saying some things that you and I need to just be aware of. Now, let me just go through a few verses here. In this third chapter, Peter is saying this second epistle. He's already written once. And I just kind of put a little caption on that, that it's an indication of the Holy Spirit's pleading with the people of God. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for the Lord. But I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit of God tonight. The Holy Spirit working in the hearts and lives of people. It's just wonderful that the Holy Spirit keeps tugging at our hearts. It's absolutely wonderful that the Holy Spirit even cares. And when Peter makes that statement, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I wrote these epistles to stir you up. I need to be stirred up. Constantly, I need to be stirred up. Peter is saying 2,000 years ago that he was interested in stirring people up, that in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Think about this. There are certain things tonight, beloved, that you and I need to remember and never forget. Pertaining to this great book, I pledged to the Lord as a young man that all of my sermons would be categorized in three areas. It was and I told the church this morning about that, that on our bulletin board out in front of our church, there was a sign, a little old white church. Now it's a big brick church, of course, my home church. But in the front of that church, when we were growing up, there was a sign. Brother Ross has said, the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. I have three types of sermons: the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. You can take all this new stuff that's going on in America, all this new stuff, taking Baptists off of our churches and changing our services around, but just give me the book, the blood, and the blessed hope, and I believe every need that a man or a woman has or a young person can be met through this book, the King James Bible, the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. I believe with all my heart that every need can be met if you just would come to the Savior, if you would just submit, if people would just come. The answer, this is the answer book, and we know the answer man. Amen. Now, Peter says here that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Have you read your Bible today? I'm sure you have. But if you haven't read your Bible today, there's no way to be mindful, not really, not truthfully, not to be mindful of what the holy prophets wrote. We've got to have the book open. You know, I often think about it. We really boast about the fact that we are King James people, okay? Our church is a King James church, okay? And we are proud of that. But are we reading it? Are we studying it? Is it our textbook, or do we just announce? No, our position is we're King James. That's all. No, beloved, you need to be in the book. I'm sure you are. I need to be in the book. And every child of God needs to be in the book. We need to be more than just King James. We need to be Bible. Blessed Word of God. I love the fact that the Holy Spirit is at work here in this little epistle here, stirring people up and reminding them of the word spoken by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles, and of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. You know, there are people today, if you're listening and your ears are tuned to it, there are people today who do not believe that Jesus is coming back. They don't believe that. They don't think he's coming back. I do. The Bible does. Peter did. The Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit here is saying that there's going to be people in the last days that's going to come, and they're going to be scoffers. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to badmouth us as we go out on the street and pass out tracts and do this, that, and the other thing. By the way, I want to say that our girls have had several opportunities to sing in restaurants where we stop. They sang today to the customers in the restaurant. And nobody was bad-mouthing us. They were thrilled to, I think they were, to hear the girls sing. It's amazing. We had some blank spots in our schedule, and we worried about it a little bit as we got ready to leave the college. And, you know, we found out that we didn't need to worry about it because God wanted those extra days where we didn't have anything scheduled because he had some things scheduled for our girls to do that was not on the docket, and what a blessing it has been. They got to go through the RU headquarters in Rockford, Illinois. They got to set Friday night in an RU service in the North Love Baptist Church where there was something like 300 people there, RU people, in that service. And we sat right out there amongst them, and you could just look. Yeah, you know, that night, Friday night, about a week ago, I was so thankful as I was out there, my wife and I, we were just out there among the people. I was so thankful that God one day reached down and touched my heart and life. First of all, saved me. Finally got me saved. Struggled through that. Finally got me saved. And then obedient to serve the Lord and to keep me away from things that could have met disaster and would have ruined my life and would have ruined my family. God spared me, and I thank God for it tonight that I don't have to be in an RU program. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a drug addict. I feel for people who are, but I thank God that God has been good to us. And I think our young people, as they sat there that night, they couldn't help but their hearts touched. They got up in front and sang to those people. And those people began to give testimonies of how their lives were being blessed by that program. I don't know how you feel about it. We have it in our church, and I think it's a pretty good program. But these people, you can just see all of this big wave of people almost hopeless, helpless, pleading, would somebody please help us? I'm glad for churches that go the extra mile to try to help people and reach people. It's a lot of work. It's a very discouraging thing. Even in our church, it's a very discouraging thing, the RU program. Because these people, you get them faithful, and you get a number of people coming, 30, 40, 50 people coming, all of a sudden you don't see them anymore. But that's the kind of lives they're living. They need help. And by the way, what difference does it make whether they come or not? See, we've got ourselves screwed up, you know. We're so interested in numbers that we've lost sight of people. Well, our program doesn't... the workers really get discouraged because the numbers drop. Why? Are you doing it for yourself or are you doing it for the Lord? I mean, we need to stop and ask ourselves why we're doing what we're doing. Are we doing it so we can tell people at the preacher's meeting on Tuesday or Wednesday that, boy, you should have been to our church on Sunday? And as soon as that attitude develops in these meetings, you just start discouraging a whole bunch of preachers who had a lousy day today. But they didn't quit. Amen. They hung in there. Amen. They stayed with it. They have nothing to boast about tonight, but they stuck with it. I've been to preachers' meetings, Brother Ross, like that, where the subject comes up, how big offerings are, how big Sunday school attendance is, how many people you have in church. Baloney! Who cares? We need to make every effort. We need to do our best every week. But why do we have to go out and advertise what we're doing, and it discourages people who are working just as hard as you and I are working, but they're not having the same results? No, the truth of the matter is that I tell our soul winners, that's the program that I head up in our church, our outreach program, that I wouldn't go around saying, you know, I wouldn't boast too much about the fact that, boy, I won 6 people to the Lord this week. Man, I won 6 people to the Lord this week. Hey, I beat that. I won 10 people to the Lord. Really? I tell my people, you didn't win anybody to the Lord. The Holy Spirit did. You didn't win anybody to the Lord. You were instrumental, yes. But the Bible teaches us that we are seed sowers. We go out and people in our programs, people come back to our church discouraged because they didn't see anybody saved. Well, God just wants you to keep sowing the seed. Somebody else will come along and water that seed. And maybe the third person will come along. And guess what? That person that you don't even know about would have the privilege of leading that person to the Lord, but it would have never happened if you hadn't been faithful in sowing the seed. We're seed sowers. Call it what you want, but we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in numbers. You have numbers in this church, this ministry here. We have numbers at Grace. But We better not get caught up in it. I've often thought of pastors who tonight, and I've thought about this a lot in my life. I think of pastors. We were in Kentucky for 5 years. Pastors up and down the creek. Nobody even knows where they live. They don't even know where their churches are. And they got up before their 2 or 3 families this morning and they preached their hearts out. And they've been there for years. Been there for years. And they, and others who have done the same thing go home tonight. They'll go to their homes tonight and they'll go to bed discouraged because not because they're tired of the work, but they're tired in the work that they're doing. I tell everybody that I see, Brother Ross, that I think one of the things all of us need, I know I need it, one of the things that we all need, we just need to encourage one another. We're all in this together. We're here at Grace Baptist College. I thank God for every good Baptist college tonight that's training men and women for the ministry. We're all in this together. We're all in this thing together. And once it becomes a competition, I'm going to drop it, Brother Pastor. I don't want nothing to do with it. We're not competing with anybody. We want the people that God feels that ought to be in Grace Baptist College. Brother Jack Scott, he needs the people that God feels ought to be in Hiles Anderson. And Brother Fugit and all the rest of them, all across the nation where there are good Bible colleges. The people that God feels ought to be in those Bible colleges, let's just leave it at that. And just realize that we're involved in the great ministry, beloved, of trying to win people to the Lord before Jesus comes back. I got people that I'm praying for tonight. My wife's got people she's praying for tonight. And we got to get them saved. You say, well, maybe it isn't God's will. I don't buy that, because the Bible says it isn't His will that any should perish. Right. The truth of the matter is that God never gives up anybody, but you and I do. We give up, God doesn't. That's why we need to encourage one another. How do you do it? Walk up and, fellow, walk up and pat somebody on the back and just tell some guy, stay with it, brother. Just stick with it. My heart really is burdened tonight for pastors all over America tonight that I believe are going to go home tonight. They're not going to see an auditorium filled with people like this one tonight. They're not going to see auditoriums like Grace Baptist Church that's filled, every service just filled. They're not going to see that. They're going to say, what's going on? We need to be able to say, just stick with it, brother. Just stay with it, brother. I'm doing the same thing you are. You're doing the same thing I am. Let's just stay with it. Things are a little different in my church and your church. Just stay with it. Encourage people to be faithful, to recognize that it could be the greatest ministry that we're involved in, the ministry of encouragement. Trying to encourage people. I know tonight that there's somebody here. I'm not psychic, but somebody's here tonight that very well, you could be at the end of your rope, ready to give up. You say, have you ever been there, Pastor? You know how low down sometimes I've gotten in the ministry? I've got so low down that you find me underneath the pew, not sitting in the pew. I've been there. When we went to our church there in Jackson, finished the work there after the 30 years, and then we were invited to come up and join the staff at the college and the church there in Gaylord. I told the Lord that after I got there, that church, I said, I'll stay 1 year and I'm out of here. Now that's maybe not the way to talk to God, but that's the way I felt. One year, I'm out of here. 29 years later, I was still there. I had to get myself out of the way and so that God could work and use me in that church. You know, this portion of Scripture is just an encouragement to my heart, this third chapter, because it speaks about the end time. It speaks about the coming of the Lord. It speaks about the renewing, the destruction of the earth. When I read passages of Scripture like this, it helps me to refocus. And it helps me to realize how real it is, how important the days are in which we're living. That it's all going to come to an end one day. All going to be over. You and I are going to be happy because we're going to be in heaven. Right? Because we're saved. Amen, brother. But what about all of our friends and relatives and neighbors and people that we work with that's not going to be there? Most of you probably have tried your best to reach people. My encouragement to you is just keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. One of these days, that person that you've given up on, you think they're never going to be saved, they're never going to be saved, they're going to receive Jesus Christ, going to walk this aisle, this church. And you're not going to believe it. But you see, God blesses, I think, one thing predominantly, and that is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Whatever God's asked you to do, whatever your job is in this church, If you're involved in a ministry of passing out gospel tracts, just be faithful in doing it. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, just keep doing it. If you're like me, a lot of times we'll start doing something and then we'll stop doing it, Pastor. Just be consistent. Be consistent. Just keep doing it. There's people out there tonight who are hungry, they're dying, they need the Savior. I'm not going to try to finish this sermon the points. I'm just trying to share with you tonight my heart, the importance, I think, of the hour in which we're living, that I think every service, I think the altar ought to be filled with people. You say, why? Isn't it putting on a show? No, I don't think so. I believe people ought to come every time there's a service and renew their commitment to the Lord. Here we're going out a new week. We don't know what the challenges will be this week. We don't know for sure whether we'll ever return home. We really don't know that for sure. So we need to make a commitment that tomorrow God will be in the trip to St. Louis and will use us. Let me paraphrase it. We need to get serious about God's work. We need to just get serious about it. It's a very serious, Calvary is a very serious thing. Jesus shedding his blood was a very serious thing. His coming back again is a very serious thing. We as God's people, we need to be serious about what we're doing. That's why I'm at the college. I have no intention of wanting to do anything else in all the world than just do what I'm doing, but to do it faithfully. Because I believe that the hour is late, and today may be our last chance to do what God has been pleading us to do. Don't walk out that door tonight if you're not right with God. I don't know hardly any of you. I don't know your heart. You don't know my heart. But let's not walk out the door tonight if we're not right with God. If you're here tonight and for some reason you got into this service, and as far as you can tell, you're not saved tonight, don't walk out the door unsaved. There's no call for it. Don't walk out the door with your needs unmet. I'm just pleading with you tonight. Let's give God our best. The hour is late. He's coming back. Let's give him our best shot.